Once again, the Mass. It's coming to a close. You just got to hold on. Because where I work, they've started to vaccinate people. So it's going to come around. I know where we're standing, and it's Wednesday night, but it's still good to be in the house of the Lord. I live in a neighborhood. Most of us live in a neighborhood, I hope. The ratio was 43-2. You can have a seat. I'm just going to talk for a little bit. 43-2. Sounds kind of funny. Let me put it in perspective. In my neighborhood, there are over 100 homes. This is Christmas season. Christmas season. Christmas season. So I decided to do something interesting, was to drive through my neighborhood when the Christmas lights are on. You think it's crazy because I've lived there for 20 years to drive through the neighborhood, but I wanted to try and grasp a situation. What I was really interested in going through the neighborhood, I saw Santa Claus. I saw blown up gifts. I saw Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I saw Christmas trees. But what I was really trying to find out is how many nativity scenes I saw in my neighborhood. And I have to tell you, I'm appalled because 43 Santa Clauses and other things, and just 2 nativity scenes. See, we got a challenge here today in this world we live in, because we have to go back and understand what Christmas is really about. Let me tell you, Christmas is not about Santa Claus. Santa Claus can't save you. Santa Claus can't get you into heaven. When I was a little kid, you watched Rudolph, and Rudolph could fly. But I never saw Rudolph go to heaven. So that tells me Rudolph is not taking you to heaven. Understand something. I'm here tonight to talk about living for God. You want a title? I'll give you a title because I have to give you one. The title is Because You Are Loved. Understand something about Christmas. Because you were loved, and you are loved. You don't have to stand, but I'm going to give you a couple of verses, familiar ones to live in, study, and look at. The famous one we always talk about is John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For God gave. Give me Isaiah 9:6. In the Old Testament, they foresaw what was going to take place. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Understand something. That doesn't define but one person. That is Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. Give me Luke chapter 2. Give me the other verse. You got it? Luke 1:28. "An angel came to her and said, Hail, thou art mightily favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Brother Paul was here this weekend, and part of the discussion he had was about Christmas and whether or not Christ was born on December 25th. We can have this discussion. We can go around. But as I was having a discussion with a young man today in my office who works at a body shop, he likes to work on cars, and he was telling me how he got into the work, I reminded him of 3 things. I reminded him, 1, what you do is important. How you do it is more important. But I told him the most important thing is why you do it. That is the most important thing. It's not whether December 25th is really Christ's birthday. The real question becomes not how he got here, but why he came. Why he came to this earth. You go back, and in my book says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm telling you now, it did not just come because of spontaneous combustion. It did not come because of evolution. It came because God said he created the heavens and the earth. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Then the Bible tells us God created man. He said, let us make man in our own image. We know the story. He created Adam. He placed Adam in a garden. We know that story very well. Now, in the garden, Adam had free reign. But God reminded him there were two trees in the garden. That really is interesting that out of everything that we only come to two trees, the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. We know the story. We say the serpent showed up. That serpent is no more than just Lucifer, the devil. He is now come into God's garden. It's interesting how he showed up in the garden. He just kind of, I call it, kind of snuck in and weaseled in. Understand something. When you're living for God, the devil always tries to ease his way in. Well, when you're a little kid, they show you the devil. He's got the pitchfork. He's got the red suit on. He's got the tail. It would be nice if he showed up like that. We would all see him coming. So the story tells us very well in the garden that Eve is tempted, but Adam sinned. But interesting, you can argue about whether it was an apple tree, a pear tree, a plum tree, banana tree, an orange tree. It doesn't matter what type of tree it was. But God told Adam, do not eat of that tree. But Adam now eats of the tree. For years, you read the story and you think God kicked Adam out of the garden for eating the fruit. But you forget there was another tree in the garden, the tree of life. Understand something. Why does it become important? In the book of Revelation, it becomes important. The Bible tells us by one man, sin entered into the world. Sin came in. Just because sin came in, doesn't mean God loved Adam any less. Understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we stumble and fall. And let me be honest, none of us in this room is perfect. We, as we say, we all are work in progress. If we all sat down and wrote a letter to God and said, well, God, the last 6 months I've been perfect, we tear it up and throw it away. Well, God, I've been perfect for the last 6 weeks. Throw that out. God, I've been perfect for the last week. Throw it out. Well, God, I was perfect today. Not so. Because he's going to say, you may not have acted, but you sure thought it. Somewhere down the line, something in the day crossed your mind that wasn't a good thought from God. Somebody cut you off in traffic. Somebody did something to you. You had to wait in line too late. But it crossed your mind. So you understand something. We're not perfect, but God loves us anyway. So we look at the story now. Adam has sinned. Sin has entered the world, but God loves him. We move the story along, but God loves us enough that he wants us to spend time with him, not just earthly time. The other day we were at work and people was talking about how bad 2020 was bad. It's a bad year. I wish it was hurry up and over. I don't know how many times y'all heard that. Every day. So me, I'm sometimes I say some dumb things. So I told a person that said it something simple. I said, okay, you want 2020 to be over. So you want to give up 1 year of your life. But at the end of your life, you're going to want this year back. Think about what I just said. At the end, you're going to wish you had that year back that you said, I wish it was over. Instead of saying, well, God said, okay, you want it over. I'm going to cut 1 year off your life. You'd be sitting there trying to negotiate to get that year back. But it's not a bad year. It is a good year. When you look back through 2020, you can't say but one thing, that God has been good to me. God has been good to me. James 1 and 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father above. And there is no variance, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift. Every gift you got this year, it may not have looked like a good gift to you. Because when we look at the gift, we see it only through our present eyes. Or we see it through something in the past. We don't always see it how it looks forward to the future. I'll give you an example. You go down to the store. You buy a puzzle. You get that puzzle box. You put those pieces out on that table. You hold the box up trying to figure out, how do I put those pieces together? Only once you start putting it together do you understand one piece connects to another piece. When you're younger, what you would try and do is force one piece to fit where it didn't go. Now, everybody's shaking their head. Yeah, we all tried to do that because we thought it fit right there. Then we have to take it apart and put it someplace else. And after a while, we began to realize where it really went. Sometime in our lives, we have to understand our life is like a puzzle. We only understand the parts that's been put together. The pieces on the table, we're not sure how they fit together. But we need to understand there is an author and a finisher of our faith. There is a God that created everything that knows how the pieces rightly fit together. Oh, hallelujah. We don't always understand it. So we understand now we're in a struggle. The Bible tells us we didn't all sin the way Adam sinned, but we all have fallen short. The Bible tells us in Romans, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have. The Bible tells us in Romans, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Understand what I'm trying to tell somebody today. The gift of God is eternal life. So now God looks around, and we know in the Old Testament, the sins could not be forgiven. They could be rolled forward. You can make an atonement. But you never could be set free. You could never be forgiven. He gave them, starting with the Ten Commandments. You're thinking, man, this is 10 rules. I can follow 10 rules. Well, maybe I can follow 7. Maybe I can follow 3. Sometimes I can't even follow 1 rule. You think about it. How many times have you told yourself, I'm going to get up tomorrow morning at X hour and do what I'm supposed to do? Yeah, you know that story. You set your alarm clock. You do all that stuff. You go to bed early. That alarm clock goes off, and you look over there, and you go, snooze button. Where that snooze button at? It goes off a second time. Boom, I'm going to hit that snooze button. Listen, we can't even follow sometimes one rule we set for ourselves. Understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about trying to live for God without God's assistance. The Bible reminds us all our righteousness is as but filthy rags. Understand something. We cannot save ourselves. Let me tell you, a drowning man cannot save himself. If he could, he wouldn't be drowning. He couldn't. So a sinful man cannot save himself. We know now as we get to the New Testament that God had a plan in place the whole time. In Isaiah 9 and 6, we talked about unto us a son is born. It's Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh. You sat there, people scratch their head and say, well, we don't understand how that happened. Well, how did Jesus show up? And Mary did not hang out with some guy. I'm going to be nice. We're adults. So we don't understand how he showed up. But they missed the most important part. Go back to the beginning. God created Adam without any assistance. He made Adam without any assistance. So you got to understand something. Mary was the vehicle through which God appeared. The challenge with the Jews was pretty simple. They were looking for a king that came down from heaven. They were looking for some great pomp and circumstances. The angels will lead him. Somehow he's coming down with a big old crown. But he didn't show up that way the first time. But oh, let me tell you something. I'm going to remind you. He's coming back. And next time, he's not coming back as a child. He's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's coming back for his children. He's coming back. So now all of a sudden, the baby shows up. And Mary, the Bible tells us, the angel shows up and tells Mary, Mary, you're well-favored. I'm not sure she quite grasped that she was well-favored. You got to understand something in your life when you walk through and you're living for God. There's always two sets of eyes looking at what's going on. You got to realize it's our set of eyes looking at it, and it's God's set of eyes. And sometimes what we see through our human eyes is not what's taking place in the spiritual eyes of God. Understand what I'm trying to tell you? You got to begin to understand why he came. He came because he loved you. The wages of sin is death. Not just spiritual death, but eventually there is physical death. Physical death. Understand something. No matter how long you live on this earth, you're not staying here forever. Ain't nobody, show me anybody who stayed here forever. The Bible tells us clearly it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Once to die and then the judgment. No matter what takes place here during these Christmas holidays and the pandemic, you got to keep your eyes on the prize. It's not about how many gifts you give somebody. Oh, understand. It's not how many gifts you get. The most important gift you can get in your life is Jesus Christ. I'm telling you today, that's the most important gift that you can get at Christmas. Brother Poe was nice about it. He's talking about getting the bag with the oranges and that little apples in it. Then when you were a kid, you got something you needed. You didn't always get what you wanted. You looked in there and there were T-shirts, underclothes, socks, whatever they thought you needed. Why? You were disappointed because you didn't get what you wanted. But the interesting part of that gift given back then was they gave you what you needed, not what you wanted. Because they could see further ahead. God, in his gift given to us, gives us what we need, not always what we want. I don't want to go through anything. I don't want to go through hard times. I want every day to be a nice sunny day and a nice smooth highway, no bumps in the road, no dirt road, no dust. No, but God says along the line, you're going to have to go through some ups and downs, some valleys, some highs and lows. But God said, don't worry, I'm going to be right there with you, holding your hands the whole time you're going through all that stuff. He says, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. Oh, you got to understand the God that you serve is well able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could think of ask. You got to understand what Christmas is all about. He came. He came to do one thing. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Guess what? We all lost. Every last one of us were lost. We still lost. We still lost. Because none of us are perfect. We talk about, people talk about being saved. Listen, we're on the road, but we're not saved until we get all the way home. I tell people, you go watch, if you want to watch anything, go watch sometime the highlights of sports where people get close to the home plate, running around third, think they're home, and all of a sudden they stumble and fall. They get tagged out. Listen, we're not home until God says we're home. But you understand one thing. If you follow him, he will get you home. You're out there, and I had to go out to the mall today. You got to understand something. I try and go in the daytime, on my little afternoon, sometime when I can get away from work. And normally there's nobody out there. So I'm thinking today I'm going to sneak in and get what I want and get out. I get over there, and there's all these cars in the parking lot. And somebody in my favorite parking spot by Macy's. And I'm thinking, this is bad. This is bad. This is bad. But you realize that there are people out there with one purpose. And now people want to tell you what I want for Christmas. Where did that come from? Well, I'm going to tell you, this is what I want for Christmas. What happened to my right to be able to give you what I want to give you? Now, your kids do that sometimes. You have to remind them, as mine used to do when she was little. Callie, you can't tell me how to spend my money. Listen, if you're a parent, you know that rule. You pull it. You've used that before, too. They won't tell you how to spend your money. But understand something. We're talking about earthly terms in terms of money. But you got to understand something. We cannot tell God how to orchestrate our life. I'm telling you that because in living for God, you got to understand something. I thought about this a couple weeks ago. I was thinking about it. Think about it. Picture this. We sing that song, It's His Breath in my lungs. Now, in the same breath of his that came in his lungs, what I send out makes a whole lot of difference, what I send out. I have two choices. I can send out praise and glory to him, or I can complain with the same breath he just gave me. But the choice becomes yours. But he made a choice to come to earth, to pay a price ultimately that he did not owe. He did not owe the price that he paid on the cross. Think about this. A God that created everything. A God that spoke the world into existence. The God that hung the stars, the moon, and even created you. We can argue about, well, my parents created me. Your parents didn't create you. Understand something. Your parents did not create you. God created you for this day and this time and this hour. Understand what I'm saying? And God doesn't make any mistakes. Listen, God doesn't make mistakes. I don't care what anybody tells you. Well, God made a mistake. I shouldn't look like this. I shouldn't be like this. God didn't make any mistake. What you're trying to tell God is, God, I'm smarter than you. Listen, that's what you're really telling him. I know what I should look like. I know how I should act. I know what I should be. God's saying, how do you know that? You didn't make you. The Bible says, can the clay tell a potter? The potter controls the clay. And when I walk through God, through this life, God wants us to be more like him. Not more like the world. The world is out of control, going in the wrong direction. You know, I told you just now, and I drove through my neighborhood. I'm saying, I don't get this. I don't understand the ratio 43-2. Except you're telling me there's 43 people out there, neighbors and houses, that believe Christmas stands for Santa Claus coming. That your presence really going to come on a reindeer. Well, let me tell you something. In my neighborhood, there's not a whole lot of houses with chimneys anymore. And most of us got an alarm system on our house. And our doors are locked. So I'm not sure what they think is going to take place on Christmas. But understand something that just tells me where the world is. And more importantly, what the world really needs is a savior. That's what the world really needs. They don't understand how miserable they really are. You know, and most of us didn't really realize how miserable we were until we started living for God. Then once you start living for God, you realize, man, I really was miserable. But I just didn't want to admit to myself that I'm miserable. You got to begin to understand something. The price he paid for coming. He didn't have to come. He could have wiped everything out and started over. He could have said, you know what, I'm done with this place. Even when you look at the story of Noah, it shows you how much God loved man. And going, you want to make it, that's even later. He could have said, okay, Adam and Eve, poosh, you gone. I'm gonna start over because you guys made a mistake. If God started over every time we made a mistake, we'd been long gone. But God loved us enough to say, you know what? Weeping endured for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. Sometimes in our lives, we have to realize the sun is going to come up tomorrow. We struggle sometimes because we don't understand fully how much God really loves us. As we always talk about, you always love your children, but you don't always like them. Some of y'all young, y'all don't have children yet, but you have children, you're going to understand. You don't always like them. Sometimes you want to send them back wherever they came from. Because, boy, they can test you and test you and test you. You want them to learn how to start talking. But when they first start talking, you're kind of babbling, you're laughing about it. Then you ever realize that one of the first words that come out of their mouth is, no. No. You're trying to understand, what happened to yes? Like, yes? The second word that comes out of their mouth is, mine. 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 Then they grow up and they get about 3 years old, and the next thing comes out of their mouth is, why? Why, Daddy? Why, Daddy? Why, Daddy? And they're driving you nuts with why. But you look at them and you begin to realize you still love them. Because they wear you out, then 2 minutes later they come back and get in your lap and give you a hug at a smoochy smoochy kitchen. You're like, oh, everything's all right. Everything's going to be all right. No matter what they do, you love them. God loves us. And I tell people something interesting. Until you have your own children, you really don't understand how much God really loves you. You really don't. Once you have your own, you begin to understand somewhat how much God loves you. But you got to get to the point that you understand, I am loved. I am loved. God loves you no matter what circumstances you're in. No matter what you do. He showed it to you by coming to earth. He didn't have to come to earth. He could have stayed in heaven and said, okay, I'm going to stay up here. But I'm going to come to this earth. Now, why? Because I'm going to come show you how much I love you. I'm not going to just have you this book and tell you how much I love you. I'm going to show you how much I love you. If he'd have stayed in heaven and said, I love you, I love you, I love you, you say, well, show it to me. He came as a babe. He grew. We know when he was 12 years old, his parents finds him basically in the tabernacle talking to the wives. And he says something interesting. He says, I must be about my father's work. I must be about my father's. He understood why he came. He came because he loved. The Bible reminds us, for God so loved that he gave. So this Christmas time, it should be every time of Christmas time. Listen, this is not winter holidays. It's not winter. The world wants you to say, oh, you can't say Christmas anymore. No, you can't stop my mouth from moving and saying Christmas. Now, you may not like to hear Christmas. You may have your own belief. But I can say Christmas, and ain't nothing you can say or do about it because it is Christmas. It is Christmas. Understand, as I hurry, that Jesus Christ came. We owed a debt we could not pay. He paid a debt that he did not owe. Understand what I'm saying tonight? Why he came is more important than when he came or how he came. You got to understand why he came. He came to seek and to save each one of us who are lost. You realize if there was only one person lost, he still would have come. He still would have come to save that which was lost. Can you understand as we come to a close? I'm going to come to a close early. But I want you to, you got to rejoice this time of year. You got to understand and be excited. I know that this coming Sunday we're going to have a Christmas. I think we have something special for this Sunday. Candlelight. Oh, I get excited by candlelight. I just get excited. I get excited by talking about God. I don't care what happens. You ought to get you got to get excited about living for God. Listen, you're walking through things sometime in the day-to-day as we go through life, and we get focused on the here and now. But you got to see past the here and now. I don't know how long eternity is, but I can tell you eternity with God is greater than eternity without God. I think that is the most important thing to understand. He came as a child. If he had come like we expecting the kings to come, you ever watch the president go somewhere? He shows up with the motorcade. He's got a Secret Service in front of him. He got Secret Service behind him. They got guys with rifles on the roof and everything like that. That's because he comes with all pomp and circumstances. If God himself had come as an adult and says, say he was 30 years old when he showed up. I don't care if he came down from heaven, how he came down. People still wouldn't believe it exists. They wouldn't believe he came. But then there was somebody who would say, you know, you came when you were 30. You don't know what it's like to be 15. But you got to understand, he started out as a babe, and I still believe so. He could understand each stage of life as he spent time upon this earth. As we walk through this season, let's remember, But if we're going to cross paths with somebody that needs to be reminded that God is good. I don't care what they're going through. You have to stop long enough to empathize with them and say, God is good. And let me tell you why God is good. I don't care what you're going through. It might be for a moment, but God will get you through those circumstances of life. I know I'm standing up here, but every one of us in here has our own story to tell. The Bible says, how did we overcome? We overcame by the testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Understand something. We have to share our testimony sometime with somebody to tell them that God is good. And I pray in the next day or so, coming up to Christmas, you have a time to remind somebody. I know we sticking with family. We've got to be close because the government says that COVID exists. But it doesn't keep you from using your phone to talk to somebody, using your phone to text somebody. See, we got technology out there. And I'll tell you today as I close, technology is not all bad. But I tell people something simple. Our technological ability has outstripped our moral ability to manage it. It's not about technology. It's about how it's being used. We have sat down sometime and said we're afraid of technology. But some things we have to embrace. It's not going to go away. We can run from it. We can put our heads in the sand. But I'm telling you, if the enemy is using it, we have to fight back. We have to remind them that God is with a message all around the world. If you go back and we say, well, technology doesn't matter, then how do we have the Bible? Understand what I'm telling you? If you don't, technology doesn't matter, we shouldn't touch technology, then we wouldn't have a Bible. If you go back and look how they wrote on the scrolls, we wouldn't have the scrolls. Somebody had to use technology to record what God had told them to write down. The Bible tells us, how is the Bible written? It's written under inspiration by holy men. This is a Bible that's written. We use it as print now. But I'm telling you today, we're going to have to go out and tell somebody that God, my God, that my God, who's our rock, our fortress, our deliverer, our strong tower, who's our everything, is the reason we celebrate this season. Oh, hallelujah. Shall we pray as we come to a close? Oh, precious Heavenly Father, there is no God like you. You alone are He, Father. You alone who hung the stars and the moon. You are the God that spoke the world into existence. You are the God who came from glory to pay a price that we could not pay, Father. Father, we celebrate Christmas because it reminds us not just of your birth. It reminds you why you came. You came to seek and to save a sinner like me, Father. You came that we might have a right to eternal life, Father. Father, you watch over us. Your guardian angels wrap around us and protect us from hurt, harm, and danger, Lord. Lord, you are worthy. If we had all the breath and all the days, we could not thank you enough, Father, for what the things that you brought us through, Father, where you watch over us and keep us, Lord. As we go through this season, Father, let us lift our eyes. Let us do it with a smile on our face, a twinkle in our eyes, a skip in our step, Father, letting somebody know that I'm walking to a different tune. I'm walking to your voice, Father, that you receive the glory and the honor today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen and amen.